Right, ladies and gentlemen, David Bowie said, this is not America, maybe the United States of America, at least by title, but this is not the America that we all knew. This is not the miracle of freedom. This is not the miracle of liberty that we were sold when we were growing up, when I was in school, and we would have those patriotic festivals and those gatherings. This is not that America. No, this America is much different. This is the USSSA, to plagiarize the Beatles. Dave Buhner standing, sitting in for Kevin Swanson, or standing in. I could stand, I could sit. And with me is Steve Vaughn, filling in for the great one. No, not Mark Levine. Kevin Swanson, who is off in Alaska or some other place in America, I think. But what has happened? See, this is not America. This is not the America we knew. This is not the America in which people found liberty, where people came from all over the world to experience unparalleled freedoms. No, this is not that America. Steve, is that your America? I mean, you live all the way up in Aurora. Is it freer there than it is down here in El Paso County?
Oh, no, not anywhere close. We are actually less free, I think, in there. I think we're in Elbert County right now, aren't we?
For the moment.
Okay.
For the moment. Yeah, El Paso County is looking to do a hostile takeover. I live in El Paso County. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not America. You know, one of the things that we were told about in America is that you had rights. You had a right to assemble. Well, you don't. You know, you can't have church in your home without the government coming down and saying you're violating this rule or that rule, and you don't have enough porta potties, and you don't have enough parking, and you don't have streetlight parking, and the parking spots are not set aside and painted clearly, and you don't have a little wheelchair painted on 17 of those. It's kind of funny. Every once in a while, you'll hear the stories of the absurdity of rules. You'll have a mountain climber gym or a health club or something like that, and they have to have 40 or so handicap parking spots.
The handicap parking spots at roller derbies or roller skating rinks, it just blows my mind. If you can roller skate, you don't need handicap parking.
Maybe you want to get out on the floor in your wheelchair and roller that way.
That maybe so.
But it's just absurdity. Well, one of the ways that this is not the America that I knew is that the government has become the Big Brother. And, of course, by the Big Brother, I mean George Orwell's Big Brother. They are spying on you. In fact, if you're listening to this program right now, chances are the Obama administration knows it. They know you're listening. They know how often. Just something to think about.
Wow. And from what I understand, too, with all of the cameras that are around, most of us get photographed or on camera several times during the day without ever knowing it. If you go to a store, you've been on camera. If you're walking down the streets, you're probably on camera. They take pictures of you running stoplights. They take pictures of you speeding. And so you're on camera all the time.
Well, this article from Infowars.com. Now, Infowars.com tends to be a little edgy, but doesn't mean they're wrong. But from this article, there are 14 ways that this article lists on 14 incredibly creepy surveillance technologies the Big Brother will be using against you. And some of these are already in place. And the first one that I'm going to deal with is they're spying on your Internet activity. Did you know that the government is spying on your Internet activity?
It would not surprise me.
Well, according to this article, starting Thursday, July 12th, 2012, quote, that's the date when the nation's largest ISPs will all voluntarily implement a new anti-piracy plan that will engage network operators in the largest digital spying scheme in history and see some users' bandwidth completely cut off until they sign an agreement saying they will not download copyrighted materials. Word of the start date has largely been kept secret since ISPs announced their plans last June. The deal was brokered by the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, also known as the Third Reich, and the Motion Picture Association of America, and coordinated by the Obama administration.
All right. Thank you, Obama.
So where you used to have private communications, they are not private anymore. What you're looking at, what you're reading, what you're clicking on, hey, Big Brother knows. Big Brother knows what you're thinking. He knows if you've been naughty. He knows if you've been good. So he's just like Santa Claus.
Yeah, and he gives us gifts.
Gifts that keep on giving. And as you said, Steve, number 12 on this list, streetlights spying on us. I don't know if you paid attention. If you just look at any stoplight, they're not go lights, they're stoplights if you're stopped at them, and you look around the intersection, look up top on the masts and on the cables. What do you see? You see cameras. And you see lots of cameras. Sometimes they're cameras that send a feedback perhaps to the Department of Transportation, and they might be able to monitor traffic flow. But every once in a while, those cameras take pictures of license plates and send you tickets, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Have you gotten one of those roller tickets?
I haven't gotten a stoplight ticket. Years ago, I got one of the speeding tickets from one of those little vans that were on the side of the road. $40.
$40. Well, the hard part, of course, about getting a ticket from a robo camera is that you can't go to court and face your accuser.
Nope, and that was one of the things I was going to do, but court was way on the other side of town at a very inconvenient time. It would have cost me less to pay the ticket than to take all the time to go over there and fight it.
This is a lot different than like Andy Griffith, just pulling you over and saying, hey, just keep it a little slower here. We got children playing. This is about it. Revenue generation as much as anything else, and behavior control, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and especially those stoplight cameras. In fact, they're promised lots of revenue generation from those stoplight cameras, and one of the things that they do is they will take the speed limit down just slightly before a stoplight so that they can make the yellow lights a little bit shorter so they can catch even more people. In California, some of the stoplight tickets are over $400 for running a stoplight in California.
Right. So if you're running a stoplight in California, just keep running them and get out of California.
Absolutely.
And then claim to be here illegally and you'll be okay.
That's right.
Well, it turns out that federally funded high-tech streetlights are now being installed in American cities, and they're set to aid the Department of Homeland Security, because they're very concerned about you running your lights, as it turns out. They're making these security announcements, in quotes, and acting and taking surveillance cameras. They are capable of recording, I didn't know this, conversations. So if you're in, say, downtown Denver, and you're walking along the street, and you happen to be close to one of these Department of Homeland Security devices, not only are you being videotaped, your conversation's being recorded.
Wow. I wonder why. Are they looking for the next best recipe for ratatouille, or are they thinking that maybe people on the side streets are plotting terrorist activity?
Well, ratatouille and terrorist activity may be closely related. It's kind of hard to say. What's ratatouille?
I think it's a kind of vegetable soup.
Some of the things the government is obviously doing right now, one is called data mining. Data mining is where the government goes to all your resources, your online resources, and it starts creating a profile about you. So everything you put on your Facebook page or you put in your Google Plus, emails that you sent, by the way, emails are searchable, they're data mining. They're getting a profile of you, Steve, and it's not looking very good, I might say.
Yeah, my profile's probably not looking very good. From what I understand, too, a friend of mine who is very much into the whole computer geekdom said that the government, your computer doesn't even have to be on for them to be able to go in and find out what's on your computer. So turning it off doesn't make it any safer against them. Even if it was, eventually you have to turn it on to use it. And you don't have to be connected to the Internet. They can go in and find that out as well just through other surveillance methods. They can find out what's on your computer even if you're not connected.
Well, even if it's not your computer, you have repositories of information all over the Internet. You have clouds. You have sign-ins that you've done other places. You have email that sits out there. By the way, when you do like a Hotmail or a Gmail account, there's no guarantee that Hotmail and Gmail are not going through your emails trying to figure out what ads to give you. I mean, we all know that Gmail loves, especially Google, loves to customize ads for you. That's one of the reasons that they're so successful in business. Well, if Google has that information, why in the world would you think that Big Brother doesn't?
There is no reason to think that Big Brother doesn't. They're probably in cahoots with everybody else to get that information, or they've already got it anyway.
So there's this group called Demographics, Inc., and they've been doing this. They have 500 million active consumers worldwide, More than 23,000 servers in a place called Conway, just north of Little Rock, Arkansas, and they collect and analyze more than 50 trillion data transactions a year.
50 trillion.
Trillion.
Wow. Sounds like the national debt.
Sounds like the national debt. I hope they're not charging a dollar per analysis, because that would be really expensive. And, you know, there's also something that's happening in some cities right now, and this is the smart appliance movement. This is not actually in the InfoWars article, but the smart appliance movement, they come in and they give you a smart thermostat. And then you get refrigerators and other things that are hooked to the Internet. Now, the reason for the smart thermostat is because when they're having rolling brownouts, because there's not enough electricity to power all the air conditioners, say, in Los Angeles at a given time, especially on a hot day, because, well, you can't build any more power plants in the country, being the war against coal and the war against nuclear and the war against fossil fuels, and sometimes the wind isn't blowing all that hard out there, making those little pinwheels go round and round and round, killing all the birds. So what they have to do is they have to limit the electricity, so they have rolling brownouts. In other words, instead of delivering to you virtually unlimited electricity, they can only deliver you so much. Well, one of the ways that they want to accomplish this is having the utility be able to say that your house is being kept too cold. See, if you're not even home, there's no reason that your house should be kept as cold as 85 degrees in the summer. We're just going to let your air conditioner kick on at 90 degrees instead of at 85 degrees, so that we can give that electricity to somebody else, somebody more needy, more deserving, like a Democrat.
Yeah, we get those calls actually in Aurora right now where we can voluntarily have them hook up something to our air conditioning and have them turn it off at certain times, and they say, well, it's only going to make it a couple of degrees warmer in your house. You're not even going to notice it. They've also said that eventually that could come out with a water heater switch as well, that they could keep your water heater from working overtime. It's all to help us. That's the guise that they're giving to us. It's to help us.
Your big brother is a benevolent big brother, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's good. He gives us everything. It's like you said. It's like a big Santa Claus. He knows when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. And he knows when we've been bad or good. And listen to your conversations and turn your thermostats around for you. I mean, we won't have to even think one day. They will do all of our thinking for us. So that we don't even have to worry about anything, because Big Brother will give us everything that we need.
So they just put us in the test tube, put the plugs in us, give us the little matrix to live in, and they can feed off of our energy, but we're happy. And so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, so we as long as I'm happy, you know, that's really what it's all about, is me. I'm happy, and the government's doing everything for me. I'm happy. That makes me happy.
Except that you can't get a Happy Meal in some U.S. cities.
Or a Big Gulp.
Right, or a Big Gulp, right. Because the Happy Meal turns out not to be that happy, because it has French fries that are apparently rich in unhappiness, and Big Gulps are, well, that's just more happiness than anyone deserves in New York City. Other ways that the government is coming after your privacy, these micro RFID chips. Now, the chances are right now, Steve, you have a micro RFID chip on you. Did you know that?
Is that in the credit card?
Well, they're embedded in credit cards. There's also reading of cell phones. Now, those aren't RFID, but your credit cards most likely have an RFID chip in them. And these RFID chips can contain specific information, at least enough to identify you. Now, they've talked about, for your convenience, places like Walmart having RFID readers where you just walk with your basket of goods out the door. You know, the worst part about Target or Walmart or many of these big box stores is You've made your selection. You found the falling prices. You loaded up, and now it's time to take your junk home. And there's 40 people in line, and two cashiers open and go beep, 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 and you're not sure what eternity is, but you think it might feel a little bit like the next 15 minutes of your life. And it's especially fun when you have little ones with you. Perhaps they just had something sweet, like a Big Gulp. And the sugar, you know, of course, which is from the devil, is working in them and inhibiting them from being good and really possessing them to want to touch and feel and do everything and embarrass you and humiliate you right there in front of all those Walmart shoppers. And as you know, being humiliated in Walmart by Walmart shoppers is pretty low standard. well, they're talking now about hoping to develop a system where all the goods that you just put in your cart have an RFID chip in them, as well as your credit card. And so when you walk out the store, you don't even go through the cashier. You just walk out the door. And the reader takes an inventory of everything that's in your basket from their RFID chips. And then it reads your preferred credit card and kaboom, paid for, gone, out of there. Just like that.
So what if you don't bring your credit card in? I guess they would it would alarm that you're trying to shoplift, I guess.
Perhaps. There may be another technology. We'll get there in a moment. We're seeing the RFID technology used in the libraries quite effectively. When you check out now at the library, you don't have to talk to a librarian, so you don't have to have your English corrected.
That's right. That's very convenient.
So you to take your books, you your credit card, your library card, which is like a credit card. It's like a government credit card, and you just set a stack of books on the reader, goes bing, 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 and it reads your books. And then you go out, and when you come back, and you, especially in Castle Rock, the library, there's an outdoor book drop, and there's this conveyor belt, and you can hear it check the books in as it goes down this black hole conveyor belt. You stick the books in from the outside, and it eats them, but it bings as they go by. Very interesting. Well, RFID chips then can be read from quite a distance. These RFID chips can be used to locate you just about anywhere in the world. Now, we've talked about security cameras, but they could locate you. Now, I'm sure they would implement it to locate your credit cards if they were stolen.
Right. That would be very convenient. I've also heard that there are people who have these little RFID readers that are portable, that they can do portable pickpocketing, and they can get your card number and your security code just by being near you. That's already been developed, and so they can come in and read. Yeah, so there's a downside to this, too.
ID theft?
Yeah, it's ID theft. And they were showing that on not that I watch TV, but I saw it on a program at somebody else's house, maybe. But I anyway, they were just walking up to people and touching their purse or just getting near them, and they said, do you have a Visa card, and is the card number this, and is the security number this? And so now they're selling little pockets, little packet pockets, to protect your RFID card chip cards.
In fact, I've seen wallets that were made out of metal just for that purpose.
Yeah.
To protect them, because this could be an ongoing threat. We've talked about RFID chips in the past as being embedded under the skin in order to locate missing children, in order to create some think it's the mark of the beast, but an identifier so that when you go to vote, if we ever required identification, it could be embedded identification that would identify you as you and not you as somebody who was dead in a cemetery in Chicago.
Not that they would ever vote.
No, or some guy's pet.
Yeah.
There are embedded chips into pets. I did not know this till the other day.
Yeah, they are required. If we had our pet rescued, we rescued a dog, and it was a requirement that they got an RFID chip.
Really?
It's required.
You have to have an electronic doggy.
Yes.
Okay, so it's required. Is that in Aurora, or is that?
I think it's Colorado wide. If you do a pet rescue, and if you're, so they have to be licensed. Any dog that gets licensed, or any cat, any animal that gets licensed, I believe it is required to have an RFID chip. They get them before you get them.
Wow. Wow. The government's also collecting biometric databases. That it would be retina scans and fingerprints.
Uh-huh.
And they have now very fast systems that can take a fingerprint, an unknown fingerprint, say a fingerprint in a crime scene, and they can put that into the computer and they can get a match in a matter of minutes knowing whom that fingerprint belongs to. Well, that could also be used to track you and do other things. So there's a biometric database being created about you. Right now the law enforcement are using your own cell phone to spy on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do they know about you from your cell phone?
They're going to know who you call, how often you call, who you're texting, how often that happens. If you have a smartphone, they're going to know what you browse. They're going to know a lot about you from your cell phone, your address.
Location. You realize that the government probably already knows, Steve, that you drive these back roads faster than the posted speed limit.
Well, yeah, probably.
They don't need cameras. They don't need radar guns. They just triangulate off of your smartphone, and then it doesn't even have to be a smartphone. They can just see how fast you're moving from cell to cell. But with a smartphone, they can They can know where you are at one moment in time and where you are in another moment in time. And when you go from one place to another place over a period of time, you know what we call that? Speed.
Yeah,
speed. Yeah.
And so eventually they will, you'll just start getting tickets showing up in your mailbox.
Now, there are there are devices or there are programs. I found this out. I was just looking at my son who has a smartphone now, and I'm not sure it was that smart to give him let him have a smartphone. But so I was looking at this, and one of the things I could put on his phone is, with my permission, I can track where his phone is as long as it's on at all times.
Yeah.
And so I could keep track of my son ostensibly. But if I can do that, if I can know if he's driving fast down the road, he's at a friend's house, he's at Kohl's shopping, he's at Kohl's in the men's section shopping for Father's Day, where he is, if I could do that, that means the phone company already does know that, which means that Big Brother already knows that.
Now Dave, there's something that concerns me here. It almost sounds, you know, not that I'm accusing you of anything, but it almost sounds like you don't trust the government. Could that be the case that you know, don't they have just our best interest in mind?
You know, big brothers are a wonderful blessing from the Lord when God gives you a big brother. I had a large brother. I had an older brother.
Yeah, I had an older brother who wasn't as large as I.
He was large in the sense that, you know, for a number of years there, he could inflict upon me certain pains especially for behavioral adjustment issues. You know, there are blessings of having bigger brothers. There are blessings of having bigger brothers move out. Government is like a fire. This is not original with me. You know, fire can be harnessed for great good. It makes your car go. It heats your house. But fire can also be like the fires we had in Colorado Springs a couple weeks ago that burn down homes, that burn up forests and just consume. You know, the fire is never satisfied. Government is never satisfied. It just wants more and more and more. That's why God has given it particular, very particular jurisdiction. And that's to get bad guys. That's what government is supposed to do. They're not supposed to make your life better. Now, of course, our framers and our founders understood that. They wanted a very limited government, and that's why America has prospered so much. It's because government has not been in the way, but there's also enough of a Christian character or self-government in the people that government didn't need to be in the way. The people were honest. They would transact freely. The Puritan work ethic meant that men would rather live off the work of their hands. They would rather enjoy the fruits of their labor and sleep well at night, being satisfied that they did it, rather than living in a covetous life, thinking about what they've got or what they want. But that was a different time. Now we live in a time where Big Brother, the government, wants to be God. He wants to know everything about you, wants to know what you're thinking, wants to know what you're doing. Wants to be able to watch you, also wants to be able to bring wrath upon you at any moment. To that end, we already know that there are drones flying in U.S. airspace. They're watching. You know, if you're a farmer in Iowa, you are not safe. You think you're out in the field. Maybe you used to think satellites could watch you. But on a cloudy day, now the drones are there. If you think you're going to plant that Monsanto corn without the right copyright papers filled out, you got something coming, buddy. The drones are there.
So they can read that from the drones?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
That is just amazing.
Well, there's other things that the government's doing. The Department of Homeland Security is right now working on and commissioning mobile backscatter vans. Now, these are vans that can go alongside other traffic, and they can basically do the scan of your vehicle that they do of you through the airport without the groping. They don't get to grope your car, but they get to look inside it and see what's there without you ever knowing that it happened.
So what would you be afraid that they might find in your car?
Well, they might help me locate some things that I've lost.
Oh, that would be nice.
But they might just as much be interested in the firearm. that the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, my right to carry. But, of course, the current administration wishes didn't exist, and there's even some negotiations with the United Nations that perhaps there'll be world control of my firearm.
Well, wouldn't that be better for us all? Yeah, no.
No? Look what it's done for Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago has got some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. And, you know, last week they only had like 40 murders.
Well, it's that's not bad. You know, Washington, D.C. used to be the murder capital of the United States, and they had the most strict gun laws that you could ever have.
Well, here's one other thing to make you sleep well at night, Steve. There is now technology that can read your fingerprint from 20 feet away.
All right.
So if you don't have your RFID chip and you pass those scanners, perhaps Walmart will be able to fingerprint you on the way out, which will help because if you were stealing, they'll know who to get it from, their stuff back from.
That is just creepy.
Well, according to this, there is this company out of San Francisco that wants to install these devices on the transport system in San Francisco, which includes buses, trains, and subways. The company says it will put them in 12 stations, up to 22 cameras in each, bringing the total number to 288. The cameras will be able to track up to 150 people at a time in real time and will gradually build up a memory of suspicious behaviors to work out what is suspicious.
So how do you determine what is suspicious? Who determines what is suspicious behavior?
Well, actually, this is using the new technology, the pre-crime surveillance camera.
Pre-crime?
Pre-crime.
So can you be arrested for not committing a crime?
You can be arrested for, yes.
Conspiracy.
For thinking about committing a crime. One of the technologies listed here is one from the U.S. military that's trying to read thoughts and trying to find aggression. But you can combine some of these together. So you have RFID, you have fingerprint reading, you have cameras everywhere. They know where you are, Steve. They're watching you. You're behaving a little differently today, and suddenly you have become a blip on the screen as one who is in a pre-crime mode. You're being angry. In fact, the chances are that you could be a terrorist. And so, in our desire not to profile you, we've just profiled you, Steve.
Wow. So can they, I guess they're going to be able to come in and then check me out without me even knowing. And they would be able to scan me without groping me, make sure I don't carry hostile Monsanto corn without their express written consent. Wow, but you know, all of this in under the guise of we're helping out society. But as you said, Dave, government's not there to help us live a better life. They're there to punish criminals after the crime's been committed.
Well, what we have, Steve, is we live in an age in which a few people, a small number of people, can inflict a great deal of damage to society. They can hijack planes and crash into buildings. And we can have a city really be affected in horrible ways. You can have 5,000 people die in a day just because a few people got control of some airplanes. You could have rogue countries. We can have countries who think it's in their best self-interest to disable this land. They could launch a thermal nuclear strike. They could launch another kind of nuclear strike, an EMP pulse, and they could basically disable America. An EMP pulse, the military believes that about 80% of the East Coast would be dead within a year. A tremendously powerful weapon that just disables all our goodies, all our devices, our electronic chips, because we're so dependent upon them.
So EMP being electromagnetic.
Electromagnetic pulse, yes. Which is different than a geothermal or a nuclear thermal device, which will burn you and radiate you and create a shockwave. But the EMP is launched high up in the atmosphere. You also have dirty bombs and suitcase bombs, which is a form of a dirty bomb that's very portable and hard to detect. You have people who can just bring fertilizer and put it in a Ryder truck and park it near a government building. So in other words, terrorism is a real threat. You can have small groups of people and create great harm.
So the best route then, according to the government, is to watch everybody, to not trust anybody, and because government then can protect us all from danger, rather than strengthening our country through other means, they are trying to do everything for us to protect us. Is that the wrong way to go?
It is the wrong way to go, Steve, because there are a billion possible threats. And the only way to control those billion possible threats is to have total control of reality. And there's only one who will have total control of reality, and that's the God of the universe. See, when the government stops being God's minister and they start trying to become God and usurp his role as the one who is metaphysically sovereign over every event, every sparrow that lands on the ground, when they try to become that, first off, they insult the one who already is, which is never good. You know, you never really want to defy God and insult him because he's in control of all things, including your own fate. And secondly, they can't do it. They're simply incapable. Who has known the mind of God? Who has been his counselor? In other words, we're not smart enough to orchestrate events, to orchestrate things. Liberty comes when people obey the law of God. The psalmist said some trust in chariots and some in horses. Those were the war weapons of the day. Some trust in the technology. Some trust in the stealth bomber and some trust in nuclear deterrence. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. See, they have bowed and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. That's what Psalm 20 says. The only answer is for America to trust in God. That's what it's always been. You know, before there were terrorists out there, there was droughts and famines. And droughts and famines could wipe out a people just as much as an attack. Yeah, there were foreign aggressors. You had to worry about an army coming over and trying to steal the wealth of your city. Or you could worry about a drought. Or you could worry about a disease. Superbug could launch. You could worry about a comet hitting the earth. You could worry about a 10 billion things, Steve. There's only one thing you need to worry about. And that's loving and honoring, fearing, even fearing the one true living God. Because all these things are in his hands. And that's where the people of God need to turn. Yeah, we should fear our government because we're losing it. This is not America. This is not the America that we knew. The America that we knew, there was freedom of worship. There was freedom of association. There was freedom to go place to place. There was no right to privacy in the Bill of Rights. That was invented by a court in order to kill children. Ironically, you have no right to privacy except to kill children. That's the only right to privacy you have. See, when man tries to be God, they get it all wrong. They get everything backwards. Trying to create liberty, they create tyranny. Trying to create life, they create death. Trying to take care of medical needs, Obamacare, all they're going to do is make a sicker population. Mark my words, socialized medicine is bad medicine.
Amen. R.J. Rushdoony, I think, said it very well when he said that if you deny God, God is life. God is the one who gives liberty. But if you deny God, then the only option you have is death. Because if you go away from life himself, you only have the option of death.
Steve, we got to close here, but I got to part by saying this. We've been talking about the government spying on you, knowing where you are, knowing what you're doing, knowing what you're thinking, knowing how fast you're driving. God already knows this. You know, we think that we were anonymous when the government didn't know what we were doing, but we were never anonymous. God was always watching. We were always living coram Deo, under the eye of God. That's the one that we ought to fear. I don't fear the sheriff nearly as much as I fear the living God. And here's why. I already know I've broken the living God's law. The sheriff, he doesn't know yet how many laws I've broken, but God does. And I do know that I'm in violation. I need to fear this God because this God is God. This God is the one who created the law, and he's the one that will enforce it. And my only hope in this world and in the next is that this God is a merciful God. My only hope is in Jesus, in other words. I fear the God who loved me enough to send Christ to die for me. The government won't die for me. They might send other soldiers to die for them, but they won't do it for me. Barack Obama's not going to stand and take a bullet for me. His Secret Service agents might do it for him, but the living God sent his son to die for me. I have no privacy. I have no secrets before him. I am an utter fool to think that I can keep my sins hidden from God. He knows my heart. His word discerns it. I may deceive myself, but I will never deceive him. And knowing that, I have nowhere else to turn but to Christ. And I thank my God for my Christ. Hey, this is Dave Buehner, sitting in for Kevin Swanson. Joining me was Steve Vaughn today. Hey, won't you join us again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation?